Okay, it's time for our first public hearing. Mr. Moore.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vincent. We are holding public hearings today, and when the council holds public hearings on zoning matters, they are considered legislative hearings because council uses the information that we obtain at the hearing to decide whether or not to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each applicant will be introduced. The director will provide council with a copy of the minutes from the planning zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning zoning hearing. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present testimony supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their case, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. Any persons who are present and oppose the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition. After opposition statements are made, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front, stand at the speaker's stand, and give your name and address. If you represent someone, please identify who you represent. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank, and it will be made part of the public record. You are not required to read your written statement. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has raised. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not do anything that distracts from these hearings. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please turn it off or turn it to silent mode now. The applicant or their representative will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If planning and zoning has deferred action, council will do likewise. Mr. Lank, the first hearing.
Yes, thank you. First public hearing is conditional use number 1872. The application of Kim Swan to consider the conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district for a multifamily dwelling structure, proposing two units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 6,000 square feet more or less, lying north of Admiral Road, 200 feet east of Route 1, and being lot 14 within Tower Shore subdivision. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on November 18th of 2010. At that time, the applicant provided an exhibit booklet, which was received on November 1st of 2010. We'd received comments from DLDOT, the Sussex Conservation District, the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. The commission was provided with a copy of a map of the Tower Shore subdivision, which showed vacant lots, single-family lots, multifamily lots approved by conditional uses, multifamily lots approved by the Board of Adjustment, multifamily lots that existed prior to zoning, and some B1 neighborhood business lots, and the site of the applicant. And I have a copy that I'll just pass down just for similar to what Mr. Fuquay put in his booklet. Kim Swan was present with James Fuquay, Jr., attorney of Fuquay, Urey, and Willard Professional Association, and gave testimony. At the conclusion of the testimony, Mr. Fuquay also submitted some proposed findings of fact for consideration. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Ross stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1872 for Kim Swan for a multifamily dwelling structure of two units based upon the record made at the public hearing for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use will have no significant impact on traffic. Two, there are other similar two-unit multifamily structures with similar characteristics in the immediate vicinity. Three, the project will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community, and the Board of Adjustment approved a variance to allow this multifamily conditional use to proceed. Four, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. One, only two units shall be constructed upon the property. Two, the development shall be served as part of the Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District. Three, construction site work grading and deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on, off, or to the property shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. or shall be subject to the requirements of Tower Shores, if more restricted. And four, the site plan shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Thereby, there was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated, and that motion carried 4-0. The council has before them a copy of the survey, one showing existing conditions, the second showing the proposed conditional use site plan. And they also have a copy of the small exhibit packet that was provided by the applicant on November 1st. Receive no additional comments from any agency or individual to date since the 18th of November. That's all I have unless you have.
Any questions from council? If not, Mr. Fuqua.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Mrs. Deaver, gentlemen, for the record, my name is Jim Fuqua. I'm an attorney in Georgetown. I represent the applicant, Kim Swan, who was seated next to me right here. This is an application for a conditional use for a two-unit multifamily dwelling located at 14 Admiral Road in Tower Shores Development. It's located on the east side of Route 1, just south of the Indian River Inlet. Lot 14 is a standard-sized lot in Tower Shores, 60 feet wide by 100 feet in depth, or 6,000 square feet. In order to build a duplex on a lot, Mr. Swan needs to obtain conditional use approval. In addition, because of the lot size, Mr. Swan needed to obtain a variance from the square footage requirement per unit. That application was presented to the Sussex County Board of Adjustment, and that variance was approved in September of 2010, and a copy of that decision is in the exhibit book that was submitted. Mr. Swan actually inherited this lot from his parents. They purchased the lot back in 1960 and the house. The house was an old cottage-type house. It was built on the ground, and it was one of the few homes that actually survived the March 64 storm. I'm not submitting this for the record because it's a copy that Mr. Swan wants to keep, but the house in question is the white house in the middle there, and I think it's pretty unique to see Tower Shores in that condition. Since you're familiar with all the development that has occurred down there. But that is the original house, and it basically is in the same condition as shown in that picture. Over the years, as I said, there's been a lot of development in Tower Shores. Most of the older homes have been removed. Newer homes have been constructed. Many of the new homes have been condominium-type developments or duplex units. The map that Mr. Lank sent down, and I also had a copy of the tax map with the exhibit that I submitted, basically shows the different lots in Tower Shores and the existing condition of what currently exists in there. Focusing on Admiral Road, what you'll see there is that the at the corner of Admiral Road Route 1, that is Zone B1, and that has approval for a conditional use for multifamily units. Adjacent to Lot 14, there's a duplex located on the east side of that lot, and several more duplexes located further east on Admiral Road. And directly across from Mr. Swan's property, there's four lots that have duplexes on them. So basically what's being requested here is very similar to what has occurred on Admiral Road, as well as the entire development in Tower Shores. Also, most, if not all, of the lots that have the duplexes are the same size lots as Mr. Swan's, and basically went through the same process of a variance and a conditional use approval. So this type of conditional use not only exists in the area, but it's probably the majority type of use that's in the area. So we believe that the application is consistent with the area and will have no adverse impact on the other uses or values in the area. As far as the normal development concerns, sewer, water, other utilities, shopping, school districts, fire protection, they will all be the same as currently provided to the residents of Tower Shores. Nothing any different. So in summary, basically, this conditional use approval is consistent with the nature of the area. It's similar to the numerous duplexes that have already been approved in Tower Shores. And as Mr. Lang stated, on November 18th, the Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend approval of the conditional use subject to four conditions. So we are requesting the council's approval for the reasons and subject to the conditions that the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended. And gentlemen, that will conclude my presentation other than answering any questions you may have.
Are there any questions?
Just for the record for Mr. Fuquay, the storm was 1962, not 1964.
Thank you. I noticed that.
I wouldn't want you to tell anything wasn't exactly right, Jim.
That might be the first time I've said something incorrect in these chambers.
Oh, yes, I'm sure it is. It is.
I apologize for that.
Okay, is there anyone else that would like to speak in behalf of the applicant? Anyone here to speak in behalf of the applicant? Seeing none, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition? Seeing none, let the record reflect that no one asked to speak other than the applicant's representative, and the public hearing is closed. And if deemed appropriate by the council, we can close the record on this matter.
We'll close the record and
motion to close.
Okay. Yeah. We'll ask Mr. Moore to read the.
Yes, it's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for a multifamily dwelling structure, two units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 6,000 square feet more or less, subject to the following conditions. Only two units shall be constructed on the property. Number two, the development shall be served as part of a Sussex County sanitary sewer district. Three, construction site work, grading, and deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on, off, or to the property shall only occur between the hours 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. or shall be subject to the requirements of Tower Shores if more restrictive. And number four, the site plan shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Mr. Benson?
Is there, Mr. Lang, is there a need to add a condition about the 3 years?
It can be. It's basically in the ordinance already, but it just puts the applicant on notice that there is that condition.
Okay. Why don't we add that as condition number five, I guess. If you can get the correct legalese there.
Yes. And what we will do when it's published, we will add the language direct from the code, Mr. Fuqua.
Okay. Anything else from council?
No.
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance with the conditions.
Have a motion
as amended.
Second. Have a motion and second to adopt the ordinance as amended. Any questions or comments? Not, we'll call for the vote. Mrs. Deemer.
Yes. Based on the four reasons given by the Planning and Zoning Commission and with the five conditions.
Wilson?
Yes. On the conditions of Planning and Zoning.
Cole.
Yes, I'll vote yes because it's compatible with what's been happening in the Tower Shores area for many years.
It certainly is compatible based on that and the recommendation by Planning and Zoning. I'll vote yes. Gary, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I guess you all just came to hear that. Is that why you're?
Yes.
I was trying.
The next matter is change of zone 1697 Land Tech Receiver Services LLC. Mr. Lang.
Yes, thank you. This is the application of Land Tech Receiver Services LLC for an ordinance to modify condition number 10 imposed on ordinance number 1573 for change of zone number 1475. The application of Rivera Odyssey LLC as amended by ordinance number 2018 for change of zone number 1697. The application of Peninsula at Long Neck LLC for the Peninsula, a MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community to extend the time to construct and open for use the golf clubhouse and nature center facilities. The commission is, or council has just been provided with a copy of the exhibit booklet that was provided to the commission on November 12 of 2010. I believe the date on this is, since it's a copy, was December 2nd of 2010. We received comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, the Sussex Conservation District. We had received originally 70 letters and emails in support of this amendment and no letters in opposition. There was a discussion about the exhibit booklet that was to be submitted to the commission. It was rejected by Vice Chairman Smith, since it was not received on the appropriate 10-day time schedule. Chuck Munn of Land Tech Receiver Services, LLC, was present with Mr. Fuquay, with Jim Anderson and Tom Henson. I think that's right. That's right. Okay. I had trouble with the tape. And gave testimony. There are several pages in my report on the testimony that was given. John G., a resident of the peninsula, gave testimony in support of the application for an ordinance amendment. Mr. G. also submitted 57 letters and emails in support of the application for amendment. The Richard Abbott, attorney with Abbott Law Firm, was present on behalf of Dennis and Carolyn Silicato. Mr. Silicato was also present and gave testimony. Again, there's a substantial summary of his letters or memo that he provided. At conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Robertson asked how the application was advertised. It was advertised based on the ordinance title. And at that time, at the conclusion, the commission deferred action and left the record open for 10 days after receipt of restrictive covenants and the escrow agreement to allow council review and to defer action for further consideration. Since the public hearing, we have received copies of the escrow agreement and the restrictive covenants. They are being reviewed by Vince Robertson, the county attorney, on behalf of the Planning and Zoning Commission. In addition to that, we have received up to date today 10 additional letters or emails in support of the application and one letter in opposition to the ordinance amendment. And I believe in reading that letter, there was a reference made that he originally was in support. So that should be one less support letter from what was originally calculated out of the 70 original. And I have all those letters in the file. I have not reproduce them unless they're requested by council. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Are there any questions from council? If not, Mr. Fuqua.
Again, for the record, my name is Jim Fuqua. I'm an attorney in Georgetown, and I represent Land Tech Receiver Services, LLC. With me is Chuck Munn and Tom Henson, who are associated with Land Tech. This is an application to modify condition number 10 of change of zone number 1475, which was the original Peninsula RPC ordinance approval. A fairly detailed summary of our request is contained in the informational package that was submitted to you, and I would just refer that to your reading. What I intend to do today is basically to summarize the background of the Peninsula RPC, to explain how Land Tech became involved in the Peninsula, and to explain what Land Tech found, what they've done, and what they propose to do regarding condition number 10. The Peninsula RPC was approved by the Sussex County Council back in November of 2002. It's a 787-acre parcel. It was approved for mixed residential use. Total of 1,404 lots and units. In addition, there's extensive recreational facilities, including a Jack Nicklaus Design Championship golf course. At the time of the original approval, There were 21 conditions placed on the approval, including condition number 10, which we're before you today about. And condition number 10 stated that the recreational facilities would be constructed within 2 years of the issuance of the first building permit. Sales at the peninsula began in May of 2004, in what you may recall was a rather booming real estate market. 425 lots and units were sold between May of 2004 and January of 2008, which was approximately 30% of the total units and lots approved. During that period of time, extensive water, sewer, stormwater, landscaping, and recreational infrastructure was constructed and installed by the developer, and that included over $48 million toward the extensive recreational facilities. The recreational facilities included the Jack Nicklaus Signature Golf Course, driving range, artificial hitting stations for the winter months, two practice greens and one chipping green, a pro shop, an outdoor infinity pool, an indoor heated pool, and an indoor heated spa, a 300,000-gallon wave pool, an outdoor poolside heated spa, a health and fitness club that included locker rooms, massage rooms, exercise equipment room, an aerobics and weight room, and a children's playroom. There's also was a terrace grill, which is a restaurant on site, 8 tennis courts, basketball court, a sand volleyball court, 10 miles of walking, biking, and nature trails, a fishing pier, a boardwalk and kayak launch dock, community garden, a beach bay and community dock, and a self-service post office. All of those facilities and amenities that I just mentioned have been constructed at the peninsula. They all were constructed. They all exist. What hasn't been constructed is the clubhouse, what's referred to as the permanent clubhouse, and a nature center. During the early portion of 2007, signs started to show that there was an economic slowdown, and that economic slowdown began to be felt at the peninsula as well as other places. Sales initially slowed and then stopped. And in fact, there actually have been no developer sales at the peninsula since January of 2008, almost 3 years ago. In February 2008, the developer filed an application to modify condition number 10 in order to extend the time to construct the clubhouse and the nature center. That request was presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission and to the County Council, and the condition was amended in December 2008, but it was not amended in the manner that had been requested by the developer. In summary, the amendment that was approved by Council said that construction of the facilities had to start within 2 years, and completion had to be completed within 3.5 years, and also that a performance bond for the construction of the clubhouse was required to be posted. Now, at that time, back in 2008, everyone was aware that the economy had slowed considerably, but in hindsight, no one anticipated that we were entering into what is now referred to as the Great Recession. And as you know, we are still experiencing that Great Recession, and it still has a considerable impact on our economy. During 2008 and 2009, basically the sales market died. The developer defaulted on its loans, and Wachovia, which was the lender that financed the purchase and the construction of the peninsula, exercised its rights under the loan documents. And rather than foreclose on the peninsula, which of course would have been one of the options under the loan documents, and it would have been a drastic option because it most likely just would have shut the peninsula down entirely, the bank filed a proceeding in the Delaware Court of Chancery to have a receiver appointed. Now, this is a specific provision and process that the Court of Chancery has authority over, and it was an option that was basically provided for in the financing documents that the bank had. And in October of 2009, Vice Chancellor Noble of the Delaware Chancery Court appointed Lantech as the receiver of the property of the peninsula at Long Neck LLC to manage the project and to preserve and protect the value of the development, which is what a receiver's responsibility is. This benefits not only the bank, but also other creditors as well as peninsula owners. Lantech itself has extensive experience in all aspects of residential development, and in particular in troubled real estate asset management. Lantech acts in this capacity under authority granted by the Court of Chancery and files quarterly reports to the Court of Chancery detailing its activities. When Lantech assumed control, this was the later part of 2009, they found that there were numerous significant problems that basically existed at the peninsula as a result of the developer's financial difficulties. And they are detailed on page 6 of that booklet. But I'll just summarize it. Lantech at that time met with county officials and county attorneys on several occasions to determine what these existing problems were and what needed to be done about them. These problems included expired letters of credit to Sussex County, including approximately $1.4 million for the storm water facilities, about $2.8 million expired letters of credit for roads and sewer infrastructure, unpaid subaqueous land lease rents to the state of Delaware, and over $300,000 in unpaid sewer and tax bills to Sussex County. The Peninsula Club, which is it's comprised of all the owners and basically operates all the recreational amenities, was operating at a deficit operating expense of over $2 million per year. And, of course, the clubhouse and the Nature Center, which were what we're here today about, had not been constructed or started. On page 7 and 8 of the booklet, there's a summary of what Lantech has accomplished within the past year, and that does include reinstating all the letters of credit. They're all current. The subaqueous land leases have all been paid, and all of the Sussex County taxes and sewer fees have been brought current. And an important point that I can't overemphasize is that Lantech has worked with and kept informed the peninsula owners as to everything that was occurring and what its plans were. And we realize that the county, in considering this request to modify condition number 10, is going to put a heavy value on what is in the best interest of the peninsula homeowners and what is what the homeowners want. I thank you for your patience in allowing me to get to the point of today's hearing, but I did want to just give you that background. What we're proposing today is an amendment to condition number 10, and Lawrence, I assume the council people have copies of that proposed amendment?
No.
If not, let me
pass them up.
Thank you.
For the record, what I just handed Mr. Moore was copies of the proposed amended condition number 10, which I'll explain. The proposed amendment basically is divided into four parts, A, B, C, and D. Part A really just recites what the condition already states. That's no change at all. It just says that all the other amenities will be constructed and open for use by the residents within 2 years of the issuance of the first building permit. And as I already mentioned to you, all of that package of recreational amenities basically already exist. Section B in the proposed amendment states that the Nature Center will be constructed and open for use by May 30th of 2011. So that would be approximately by 6 months from now. So that would be built over the winter. And again, that's a minor portion of the request, but that basically should take that out of an issue of argument. C and D are really the essence of what we're here to talk to you about. And this refers to the actual permanent clubhouse. And again, this requires a little bit of explanation. Preliminary plans have been completed for the clubhouse. The cost of the fully constructed and furnished clubhouse will be approximately $5 million. And again, details of the of that clubhouse are on page 9 of the exhibit that was submitted. Also on page 10 are details of some of the financial problems associated with that. And basically what that encompasses is that the club currently has 475 members. And as I mentioned, it was actually operating at a deficit of over $2 million per year when Lantech took over. Lantech has been able to reduce the deficit without affecting the overall level of service to the homeowners to approximately $1 million per year, which is the current state of affairs. Aside from the cost of constructing and furnishing the new facility, the operating cost of a new clubhouse would increase the deficit by an estimated additional $1.1 million per year. Now, that additional expense basically would affect the homeowners' dues, the members' dues, by approximately doubling the current dues that are paid. And that, of course, would result in a substantial burden on the peninsula owners, and it would also have a very negative effect on the real estate activity at the peninsula by potentially pricing the peninsula units out of the market for many potential buyers. The reason that this deficit exists is that the original development projections were for a significant number of members that hasn't materialized. Basically, it was anticipated there would be more golf members who pay a higher dues, but with the economic conditions, these projections have not been met. What Lantech proposes, again, under its court-supervised responsibility to preserve and protect the value of the development, is to basically correlate the construction of this new clubhouse with the actual number of members that would make the operation of the clubhouse and the use of the clubhouse economically viable for the owners. And after analyzing the relevant data based on other clubs of this size, it was determined that the minimum number of members needed would be 750, with at least 250 full golf members, or a total of 950 members without considering how many of them would be golf members. So basically our request, and this is what's in paragraph C, is that the construction of the clubhouse would commence when there are 950 members or 250 full-time golf members, whichever occurs first. So it would tie it into to one or the other, whichever one of those occurs first. The second part of paragraph C basically provides the assurance that the facility would be built. Lantech has created an escrow account agreement for all new memberships, and all membership deposits that have been received basically would go into this escrow account. When someone buys a unit or a resale of a unit, they become a member of the Peninsula Club. So monies have been escrowed and have been placed in there, and the current balance in this account is $867,789. And as I said, all new initiation fees and payments would then be placed in that account. And in addition, Lantech, under its authority granted by the Court of Chancery, was able to take control of the original developer's account that contained prior initiation fees, and there's an additional $580,000 that will be deposited to this escrow account upon the approval of the proposed amendment. So that will result in this escrow account balance being approximately $1.5 million. And basically, under the terms of that escrow, that money would be held there and, of course, would be added to and would be growing as new members come in. And that money could not be taken by the developer or the receiver or the subsequent owner of the development until such time as the clubhouse is built or some other form of security is placed to make sure that the clubhouse would be built. So, in effect, that money would guarantee construction. So, as I said, as new members come in, all those fees would be added to the escrow. This escrow agreement is binding not only on Lantech, As I said, it would be binding on any successor to Land Tech, and it does provide the assurance that the club will be completed in accordance with the terms of the escrow agreement. And then the last paragraph, D, was just added to provide that Land Tech or a successor will provide a statement every 6 months to Mr. Lank stating the exact current membership numbers so that the county can at least monitor the progress of those membership numbers toward meeting this condition. Now, as I said before, I know that a major consideration that the council would have in considering the effect of this condition modification is the impact on the homeowners and the wishes of those homeowners. And since being appointed as receiver, Land Tech has held meetings with the owners. They've kept the owners informed of their actions and the future plans for the peninsula. And as I said, they've discussed extensively with them this proposed modification number 10. To the best of my knowledge, the vast majority of the owners at the peninsula are in full support of this modification. Several people will speak today as owners in support, and many other owners have submitted written letters in support. And I suggest that at some point, if you're so inclined, to take account of the number of owners who have taken the time today to take off of work and to drive to Sussex County. A lot of the owners live out of state, to be at this hearing to show their support. Now, as I said, the vast majority of owners support the modification, but it's pretty rare when anything has unanimous support, and this is one such situation. At the planning and zoning hearing, there were objections to the modifications made by Mr. and Mrs. Dennis Silicata. Mr. Silicata is seated behind me, that they are homeowners at the peninsula. They're represented by Attorney Richard Abbott, who's also present, so they'll be stating their position on this. And certainly while we respect the rights of the Silicata, particularly as owners at the peninsula, to have their opinion and to object to this request, we certainly believe that their position represents a tiny minority view that contrasts with the wishes of the great majority of owners. Mr. Abbott did submit a memorandum detailing the basis for his client's opposition, and I do want to just comment briefly on that. One of the reasons he stated for the opposition is that there were 470-some owners who counted on this clubhouse being built. And I don't deny that that's true. I think everyone did count on this being built at one time. But with the economic changes that have occurred, most of those homeowners are now counting on the county to not require the clubhouse to be built at this time. And as I said, I'm not here speaking for the owners. I'm speaking for the receiver. And I would ask you to listen to the comments from the owners' representatives. A second objection is that there's no guarantees that the clubhouse would be completed. I won't go over the escrow again, but again, what we're proposing is to set up this escrow account where these future funds, as well as the existing $1.5 million, will be held in escrow and cannot be taken until such time as the clubhouse has been built. So we believe that there is a mechanism guaranteeing construction. The third argument, which is rather technical, and this is what I think Mr. Robertson is looking into, but the argument was made that the homeowners would not have to pay a deficiency in operating expenses, that the developer or the receiver through the bank would have to make these payments. And I believe that that's factually incorrect. The deficiency, of course, would be the difference between the fees that are budgeted to be collected from the homeowners, the members of the Peninsula Club, and the actual cost of operation. And if in any given year there was a deficit, the next year the budget would be increased to cover the additional amount needed. Now, all of the recreational amenities, including this future clubhouse, are subject to the provisions of a document that's referred to as the Peninsula Restated Membership Plan. And this is the Peninsula Golf and Country Club Membership Plan. That has been submitted for the record. It's provided in the restrictions in the Declaration of Covenants for the Peninsula that the developer is not a member of the club. The club is or homeowners who purchase from the developer. The club determines the amount of dues payable by the members each year. While the developer is responsible for a deficit over the budgeted fees in any one year, the club can then raise the next annual fees to cover those actual operating expenses, and in subsequent years can do the same thing. So the developer is not obligated to pay operating deficiencies in the future. That responsibility would be borne by the members who are the owners. So if the clubhouse was constructed at this time, the owners ultimately would be paying this increased operating expense, and that is exactly what they don't want to do. The fourth argument that was raised was that Wachovia, I'm not certain of this, but basically is now Wells Fargo. I think Wachovia was merged with Wells Fargo. Mr. Abbott argued that Wells Fargo made a lot of money and they should just have to build this right now and that'd be the end of it. And number one, Wells Fargo does not own this. Wells Fargo was a receiver appointed. This is still owned by the Peninsula Long Neck LLC. Even if Wells Fargo chose to build this now, which by no means is a guarantee, even if they did that, again, what I just said about the operating costs still would be borne by the homeowners. It would not be borne by Wells Fargo. Basically, we're in a very, call it a delicate situation. As I mentioned, Wells Fargo could have foreclosed. They could have had a receiver appointed. They've put this in this basket of properties that they're trying to preserve, to maintain, and to move forward with in the future, rather than just to basically say, we're going to wash our hands of this. In closing, as you gentlemen know as well as anyone, the economy went into the worst decline since the Great Depression, and basically the responsible thing to do is to adjust your actions to deal with the new realities that were created by that. Land Tech's responsibility is to preserve and protect the value of the peninsula, and that includes the interest of not only the bank, but also other creditors and all of the owners. Land Tech is not the developer. They took over by court order. They stabilized what was a very sick patient situation, and now what they plan to do is to help that patient recover, to regain its health, and to regain its vitality. That's in everyone's best interest. The proposed condition defers construction of the clubhouse until the membership is sufficient to support the costs of the operation. It provides the assurance through the escrow that funds will be available to cover the construction expenses. And I know that Mr. Cole and Mr. Phillips, I presented the original Peninsula application back in 2002. I was down there when it literally was a cornfield the first time I went down there. I heard this discussion of this vision of this community. I saw the original plans. I basically was involved in the process to actually see it become a reality. And unfortunately, the peninsula has been hit with hard times, just like everyone else and just like every place else. But we believe that with this modification, it will help the peninsula survive and in time prosper. And that prospering will benefit not only the bank, but the owners, the county, and all the businesses that provide services to the residents through maintenance and construction and retail sales. So this is a very critical request to the continuing survival of the peninsula. We request your support. Either myself or the gentleman with me will try to answer any questions you may have. And that will complete my presentation.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Fuqua, I have one question. On item C is one of your changes, and you emphasize a great deal the escrow agreement that's being set up, and I know that Mr. Robertson is looking at that as well as Mr. Rutt in my office, but it's my understanding that that escrow agreement's being held, the funds in North Carolina, as opposed to in Delaware, and it is not, as currently drafted, subject to the rules of the court of Delaware or held by an attorney in Delaware that would be subjected to the rules of the court. Is there any
possibility of having that held in Delaware, so that if there would be a problem, that it would certainly be easier for the courts and or this council to pursue that matter and get those funds.
Yeah, maybe let me have Tom address it. Tom actually prepared the escrow agreement. The I think it's actually in South Carolina, correct?
My apologies.
It's North Carolina. Can you introduce yourself, Tom?
Yes, my name is Tom Henson. I'm a lawyer from Charlotte, North Carolina, representing Landtech. Yes, I did draft the agreement. The principal reason that the money is held in North Carolina is the homeowners ask, as we started this process, that the account be an interest-bearing account. When it became clear that the account was going to be over $250,000 quickly, I had to come up with a procedure where I could get it the entire amount in an interest-bearing account. And so it participates in what's known as a CDERS program, where it's broken into individual certificates of deposit, all of which have FDIC insurance. But assuming that I could get FDIC, and there's a CDERS program in a financial institution in Delaware, I don't believe anyone would have a problem. I certainly would not have a problem moving it into Delaware and making myself. I'm already subject to, because I've appeared in connection with the Landtech matter before the Court of Chancery, I'm subject to the rules and regulations of the bar.
Okay. Any questions of counsel of Mr. Fuqua?
Yeah, Jim. The original conditions were never tied to the extension, or the original extension. Also, they were not tied to specific membership levels. And with the nature of the market, you know, nobody could stand here and say it's going to be to reach this threshold of 150 members. That could be a tough one to reach. So, with people out there who may want to see this clubhouse originally, you know, or built eventually, right? Some, I'm sure, don't want it built at all, don't even care, right? But say there's a small fraction of people that would want it built. This kind of is, and I had a conversation just yesterday with some people, and I told them it concerned me that it was kind of an almost open-ended, because nobody can really tell me when that's going to happen. It's taken X number of years to get to 450. You know, it could be 10 years, it could be 12 years, it could be, who knows? So I'm a little concerned about the extension being tied to memberships. Could you tell me why that is more advantageous to your client as opposed to something would be time sensitive? Let me hear your thoughts.
We all have a learning experience, and in hindsight, we look back on the last 10 years. On most of the zoning approvals that were done involving recreational facilities and things like that, we said things had to be built within 2 years or within 18 months or within 3 years. And in hindsight, you know, that's probably should be tied into a certain population being present. In other words, you don't necessarily want some amenities that are going to have significant cost if there's nobody there to use them. But in those days, that was, you know, things were moving that fast. You know, they were selling 200 lots a year, 300 lots a year, and things were moving that quick. So probably tying it into some type of a program of amenities are built as a certain population exists is a good idea. Now, I really want to emphasize this. The clubhouse we're talking about, at most places, if you had a clubhouse, it would encompass lots of different things in the clubhouse. And at the peninsula, all of those other things exist. All right, so these aren't things that are being deferred. You know, there's a fitness club there. There's indoor swimming pools. There's the weight room. All these facilities exist there. So they're not things that would be in the clubhouse. In effect, the clubhouse would be a large dining area, a bar. You know, it'd be a place, the dining area, a place where you could meet and have conference rooms, things of that nature. And I believe it was going to be a kind of a garage area for storage of the golf carts. I think that was the vision of this clubhouse, and a very attractive and handsome building. But all the other things you might associate with that, they already exist there. So, again, tying this clubhouse in with the membership, that was the number where it actually started to make economic, you know, sense in terms of carrying. So it's not as if people are being deprived of anything, because all these other opportunities exist there now, as well as, you know, there is a restaurant there and things of that nature.
Okay, but do we expose ourselves because somebody who bought into the original peninsula was sold that they were going to get this, this, and this? This was a piece of the puzzle. They go search the courthouse. They see it's been recorded with all this, and it's in ordinance form, which is like adopting a law, right? And so, I mean, do we get ourselves exposed because we've laid out a process here now that opens it up where, you know, it's hard to really, like I say, be certain that something's going to happen at a certain time, and that's what people like to see.
Well, when I went back and reviewed the record, and this might have been a couple years ago, it might have been back when the original amendment was requested, and Mr. Lank may recall this, there actually was no specific specific representations in the zoning matters as to the size, the location, the nature of what this clubhouse was, other than it was going to be a clubhouse constructed. So it's somewhat generically referred to. Now, as far as what was represented to purchasers, you know, I'm not sure what that is, but certainly it was represented that there was going to be a clubhouse. It's still being represented that there's going to be a clubhouse. No one is saying there isn't going to be a clubhouse. It's just a question of when do you do that? When is it needed? When is it affordable? And that's what we're trying to do here. I agree. This certainly was promised. Every owner has the right to expect that this was going to be done. But none of us foresaw the economic conditions that changed and where we are today.
Right. But don't we also, Lawrence, have a way to change site plans through a referendum and voting within subdivision? We have a subdivision process. Do we have it for our
site plan could have been amended based on review of the Planning and Zoning Commission as long as it wasn't a conditional stipulation.
Okay, but is there a way that the residents today or this community, like I know when a subdivision wants to change something, isn't there a supermajority vote they can take to change?
If we go to an amendment that's a major amendment, they have to have 51% in support to make the amendment. We still have to go through a public hearing to change it.
Okay, so this community could pursue that and just take it off the table, right?
Well, it's not a subdivision.
Okay.
This was a condition.
We don't have a condition. Okay, we don't have a mechanism then in the okay, that's what my question was. Okay, I knew we did in a subdivision, but I didn't know if we did here also. Okay. And there's not another way to just to make a whole new application somehow and which would take it out totally?
No, I don't think so. This was a residential plan community approved with conditions. The conditions were applied for to be amended, and then they're being applied for to be amended again.
And this is what we're doing. We're in the public hearing process. Okay. Everyone's been given
and
notice.
You don't see any other way of doing
No, there is. No, because it was a condition of the URPC approval, okay. There is no other way of doing it.
Okay.
Any other questions from council?
Can I make a reference? The original application back in 08 made reference to, and based on a presentation by the applicants, that the clubhouse construction would begin upon a total of 500 members of the project, and the Nature Center would be built upon completion of the clubhouse. And when the application was filed for on June 7th for this application, it made reference to 750 members, a minimum of 250 of which shall be full-time members. And the proposed amendment now is based on what was presented to the commission and being presented today to council. It has been increased to 950 members or 250 full-time golf members. So it's just numbers keep changing. And how far are the numbers going to go? We only have 1,400 or some
right
units.
Mr. Lank, one of the things was the proposal actually from the receiver was 750 members, of which 250 would be full-time golf members.
Right.
And in meeting with the homeowners, it was actually at their request that it be changed because, as they pointed out, if you never reach 250 golf members, then you could have an unlimited number of members. So it was made either 950 total members, regardless of whether they were full-time golf members, or 250 full-time golf members, regardless of how many total members you had. So it actually was moving it not further, but lesser, because it gave it an option of which one would happen.
Well, that's why I asked the question, though. I wanted to know where the extra 200 members came from.
I got another question for you, Jim. You mentioned earlier that the current group, the Court of Chancery directed this current group to run the show, and that Wells Fargo decided not to foreclose. What would prevent Wells Fargo a year from now saying, it didn't work out, we're going to foreclose? Nothing. Can they, or can they, I mean, is that an option?
They'd have to have the receiver removed, but that's still an option that they have.
What would, I'll ask Everett, so I don't have to ask you. Everett, what would be then, what would happen? What could happen to the all we're doing here today about all this? Will the money be tied up? If we see a year from now things are still not changing much or something anyway, and we see a foreclosure,
could have Mr. Henson.
Well, let me just ask Everett first if he's got any.
If there would be a foreclosure, obviously any of the real estate still secured by that would be sold or taken back by the lender.
Okay,
any money's in escrow, I would, and again, that's one of the things we'd want to look at the escrow agreement, make sure those funds were protected mm-hmm. for the people that place them in.
Right.
This is Tom Henson, that's correct, and that's why we did the escrow agreement the way that we did.
So it would be binding on any successor, whether it be this bank.
But you haven't seen it.
Mr. Rutt, my office has been reviewing it, as well as Mr. Robertson.
We can't vote on this today anyway,
no,
is that right? We're
correct.
Referring, so we
that's
got time
correct.
To study all this stuff. Okay. Yeah, I'm just concerned that we looked at a foreclosure, and what is the complications then? Okay.
Any other questions from counsel? If not, Mr. Fuqua, did you have other witnesses?
No, I don't have any other witnesses other than questions you might have, but I know there are members of the public that want to speak.
Since there are no other questions from counsel, are there any persons here in favor of this application? If so, raise your right hand. Are there any that would like to come to the podium and speak?
Yes.
We have one gentleman here. He's already made his way.
Can somebody pull that?
I've done this before. I think you can hear me.
All right, just yes. Go. Yeah.
You give me just a second. My name is John G. I reside with my wife, Susan, at 27185 Barefoot Boulevard. That's in the peninsula.
Could you spell your last name, sir?
G-E-E, like you say, G-Wiz.
Okay, thank you.
Or golly G, not G-Wiz. I also own property, my wife and I, at 89 Kayaker Path, which is also in the peninsula, so I'm owner of two properties there. Mr. Fuqua eloquently spoke about communications, which was clearly lacking prior to LandTech becoming involved in this property. Because of that communication, some of the things that have happened is we formed different organizations, specifically as a conduit between the owners and the developer, in this case, the receiver. Because of that, I serve in some unique positions. I think I can represent certain facts to you. For one, we have a Peninsula Master Homeowners Association. We have one elected homeowner to that association. I am that elected representative that serves on that board. I'm also on the board of the Peninsula Advisory Board of Governors, which basically oversees the facilities, the golf course, and the facilities, et cetera, et cetera. I'm also a member of the board of my particular homeowners association, and I serve ex officio on the other three homeowners associations, which are in the Conservancy, Veranda, and Windswept, three other locations. I come before you in support of this amendment personally, and also in my capacity in those positions to echo the fact that I think substantially most of the homeowners, which are represented in this room as well, are in support of this amendment. In particular, at the Planning Commission meeting, I was asked if we had done a poll, something official that we could represent other than the 70 letters that you had received, the 57 letters that I presented to you, and we had not. We thought that was a formality. It probably meant we were coercing rather than just simply being accretive to this proposal. So what we did is we formulated a simple poll that asked everybody by email the Tuesday after the Planning Commission meeting if they were for or against the amendment, and in such if they had any comments to make. Now, recognizing that was a Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and as of today, I have with me, which I'll give to Mr. Lank, copies of those poll numbers, which as of this morning were 205 homeowners in favor of the amendment, for, against. Now, I'm also aware of Mr. Silicato, who is not represented, I believe, at glance in these numbers, so that would be a total of five people that I'm aware of that were not in favor of the amendment. Serving in this capacity, I know everybody here, we're all friends and neighbors, and I certainly am aware of their feelings, and I think what Mr. Fuqua said to you echoes fairly consistently with our knowledge of the events that are taking place and certainly our situation with it. Also, I think it's interesting to in a show of circumstance of our homeowners, that each of us pay homeowners dues to the Master Association as well as to our particular homeowners association. The national average of delinquency among those homeowners across the country is about 15%. Of our 475 homeowners, there are 13 people that are delinquent at any that are aged, which represents less than 3% of our homeowners showing any delinquency. There's a commitment to the community that I think in other places that I've lived, I have not seen. In spite of all the circumstances that you see, these people are driven from Washington, Philadelphia, and even from New York today to be with you in a show of a display of support for what's taking place. LandTech has done a fabulous job for us. We are very pleased with what they've done. I hasten to tell you that after we build the Nature Center, there'll be two things left that we don't have. We won't have every lot developed, which right now is being developed at quite a rapid pace. We have three builders there building, as I think has been noted. But that's the only thing that's left other than a clubhouse. And as Mr. Fuqua said, we have substantially what most clubhouses have other than a large meeting room or dining room, so we think we're fairly far along with that. The stress that would be placed upon the homeowners, both financially and certainly socially, because it's disruptive to what we now have, I think would be awkward and uncomfortable, and we would certainly ask, I personally and on behalf of the poll that we've taken, that you take the amendment under consideration for approval. Thank you. And Mr. Lang, I'll leave these poll numbers with you.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Hold on just a second. Do any council members have any questions of this witness? If not, is there someone else that would like to speak? And would you like to come forward?
Thanks, sir.
And I will ask that as other members of the public come forward to speak, if something's already been stated, please don't rehash same things have been stated.
Good afternoon, and thank you for allowing me to speak before you. My name is Char Stanko. I live in Morristown, New Jersey, and we own Unit 1303, 18th on the Bay. We bought within the community as a second home. We're close to retirement, and we'd love to move to Delaware permanently. Most of the people that live at the peninsula have it as a second home, but they're just like you, working people, and we've saved our money so that we could afford some luxury. We're not wealthy people. I know the comment was previously made about millionaires. We're not millionaires. Perhaps someone who's against it may have the money to be able to pay for all this extra, but not most of us. I listened to what Mr. Lank said and our representative, Mr. Cole. What I'd like to propose, and this is coming from me, this is not coming from the peninsula, I'm hearing that you're saying that the numbers have changed. I bought 2.5 years ago, and you're correct. The number of people that had to be members for the clubhouse to be built was 500. What I'd like to propose is that you give us the opportunity of, say, 5 to 7 years, and a finite date that we have to construct. That would give us the opportunity to raise the resources. We need $4 million more dollars to build this clubhouse. We don't even have $1 million, and that's the figures that are proposed. What it would give us the opportunity is to go back to our members and see if we could pay $145 a month for 5 years to come up with the $4 million. You also heard the receiver say to you that it's going to cost right now $1 million to run the facility. That's a deficit. It's going to cost another $1 million, so it'll be $2 million a year deficit. That means it's going to cost each homeowner, if you divide it equally by 475, approximately $4,500 more a year. Now, you know our taxes. My taxes here are $600. That's one of the reasons why Delaware is so affordable for people. So I need you to understand, and I hope you do because you're all working people, that we bought here because it was affordable. We also bought here because it's something that we want to see sustainable. And I think that you all have the commitment that you want it to be sustainable. We don't want to see, and you all know that just maybe six weeks ago, there was an article in a local newspaper about all of the developments in Sussex County that had this projection for all these buildings, and it never came to fruition. I have a real estate license, and the projections right now are that it's going to be about 2018 before we see the levels of 2005 prices. So I understand the concerns that Mr. Lank and Mr. Cole expressed in terms of a finite date, but I would ask you to consider, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself, not on behalf of the peninsula, that perhaps as homeowners, that if we had 5 to 7 years, you get your request to have a finite date, we maintain the stability of the peninsula, and we all know that there is a time when we'll move forward that this can come to fruition. If, in fact, it happens now, there are so many people that are teetering just to pay their dues that they're not going to be able to pay dues. They're not going to be able to pay taxes. So instead of us having a level playing field, we're actually going to regress. And instead of moving forward, it's going to create bigger problems. So I'm putting forward a proposal to you that no one has obviously authorized that I make, but I'm trying to make this a win-win. You as the council for Sussex County obviously want to see this move forward, but let's have a finite date that we know it can happen for everyone versus going forward now when it really is adverse times. I hope I've made myself clear. I hope I've articulated in a fashion that you can appreciate. And I thank you sincerely. You're all people that give of your time to serve, so I thank you for that. And I understand it's not easy having to make these decisions, and we sincerely appreciate the work you do on behalf of us. And you have a wonderful place in Delaware, and we want to be part of it. And all of us that are here because we've found that we love also living here. But if we could make a win-win resolution here, give us 5 to 7 years, I guarantee everyone will come out the better for it. And I thank you for listening to me.
Could I get your name again? I'm sorry.
My name is Char, C-H-A-R. It's Dr. Char, C-H-A-R, Stanko, S-T-A-N-K-O. I live 1303 18th on the Bay. Thank you.
Were there any questions of this witness?
No, but I got a question to follow up on, not for you, but I'll ask Mr. Lank, based on something you said. The $5 million clubhouse we hear about, Lawrence, is it set in stone that there's a certain size clubhouse that this community has to build, or was it a conceptual?
As Mr. Fuqua said earlier, I don't believe in a record, if we went all the way back to 08, there's a specific square footage size for that clubhouse.
Well, then why are we stuck on this $5 million? I mean, would the county care from our point of view, or from our point of view, is there any concern that if the planning and zoning approved a site plan showing a much smaller, downsized clubhouse?
I'm not sure what size the clubhouse was proposed on the site plan, so we would need to take a look at that.
Are the site plans conceptual, or are they,
It was a conceptual location on the master plan, but it's never been submitted for us with the actual site plan for purpose of review.
Okay, well, I mean, my question is, do we have some wiggle room here on?
Mr. Fuqua, didn't you say something about, or maybe somebody said something about in the brochures, the real estate brochures, there was something offered to those who purchased into the property?
There's a lot of stuff offered from those guys.
Yeah, I'm not personally familiar with what was in the brochures, but I'm sure there was information in there regarding the facilities.
It'll probably come up as we go.
I mean, we could do some research. I'm sure, Lawrence, you don't have to do it now, but we could look into that, Everett, maybe put that down as something we might want to look into, how it was referenced, because maybe we can stop talking about this $5 million based on, I guess, some conceptual picture that they were promoting it as in the beginning, sure, when they were trying to sell the place.
Is there anyone else? There was a gentleman back here that wanted to speak. And before we conclude the hearing, we will be asking for a show of hands for those in favor of and opposed, so we can get that count on the record. Sir?
Good afternoon. My name is Stuart Greenfeig. That's G-R-E-E-N-F-E-I-G. I, too, am a resident owner at Peninsula at 5304 Windswept. I don't need to repeat what you can see out here in the number of people, as have been said, that have come here in support of this amendment. I would say, in answer to the question by Mr. Phillips, I believe I did read that the projected clubhouse was going to be approximately 30,000 square feet. That was what at least was advertised. And I think that people here are in favor of having that clubhouse, but nobody, as we've all heard, could have projected the economic downturn. You all know that. We all suffer from it. And the fact of the matter is that it should be looked at that the success of the peninsula also allows for the success of Millsboro, Rehoboth, and all the surrounding areas, because all the residents use the facilities, the stores, the beaches, all over this area. So there is a need for this success. I've now retired, and we have our place here. It's our second home. And my family, my children, my grandchildren are all enjoying it. And I very much respect the rights and the voices of minorities. But I've heard that there are 202 people, at least, who have voiced their vote in favor of this amendment, and five, to my understanding, that are opposed to it. But when you consider the economic impact of the overwhelming majority being placed in a position to support the minority, I would propose and suggest that that's not fair, that's not in the best interests of the council, certainly not of the interest in the residents and owners of the peninsula. It's wonderful that you're giving us this opportunity. I will speak no longer unless there are any questions.
Seeing none, thank you. The gentleman here, and I think there was a gentleman in back too.
Members of the council, just very briefly, my name is Stephen Friedman. I live in Montgomery County, Maryland. I have a condominium home at the peninsula. I just wanted to appear in support of what Mr. Fuqua and Mr. G said. I think I've previously written to each of the council members. I sent you a letter on December 1st. I'll submit another copy for the record. And I mentioned to seven of my neighbors that I was going to be driving down for this hearing today. They could not be here, so they signed proxies asking me to attend, and they have not submitted letters. So that's an additional seven voices in favor of what Mr. Fuqua has proposed and what Mr. G has proposed. So I just wanted to add that to the record.
Okay, and you give copies of those proxies to Mr. Lang, please.
Thanks, sir.
Hi, my name is Mark Ronnie. I am president of Atlantic Homes, and I actually own three of the custom homes out of the peninsula that are for sale right now. As a homeowner, I'm in support of this proposal and echo the comments of Mr. G before. But I also wanted to bring to your attention maybe my perspective as a builder. As a builder, you know, we're trying to sell the peninsula, and I'm sure every homeowner here wants to see the peninsula sold out. I can tell you as a builder, and as I talk to potential clients that are there, none of them have asked me, you know, why isn't the clubhouse built yet? What they all ask me in these days, it's all a numbers game. It's how much are the fees? What are the dues going to be? And at this point in time, I can't see raising any of those fees and telling that to the homeowners in this competitive environment to try to get somebody to buy inside the peninsula. They know in due time that this clubhouse will get built. But right now, the additional fees, monthly fees, would pretty much kill me as a builder out there for the peninsula.
Thank you. Can I get your last name again?
It's spelled G-R-A-H-N-E.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor? Yes, ma'am.
My husband's going to kill me.
We are on the internet. He can be watching this.
That's right. My name is Sheila Nebel. I'm one of the most recent homeowners at the peninsula. I live at 26955 Sugar Sand Lane. I thought the clubhouse was built. I would welcome any of you to come and see. We have everything that we need. And as I mentioned yesterday to somebody, it would rather be depressing to have a facility that has a big dining room and there would only be a handful of us sitting there. Maybe that handful couldn't even afford it because of the increase in dues. So I want you to know that it looks like we have a clubhouse and it looks like it's appropriately sized. So thank you.
Thank you.
Can I get your name again? I'm sorry.
Sheila Nebel.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? there anyone else? Let's see a couple more. Again, if you can try not to repeat things that have been said previously.
Hi, I'm John Stovall. I'm an architect. I'm really not going to make a statement other than to say that as an architect, I really believe this community is already complete and look forward to your support in approving this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. I saw one other hand.
My name is Steve Doolin. I reside at 33579 Windswept Drive in the community of the peninsula. I am a citizen, a resident, voted now, of the beautiful county of Sussex County, Delaware, having recently sold my house in Maryland to try to come to a nice retirement community, affordable, and I hope it will remain that way. I think I speak for a number of people who are transitioning into citizenship into Sussex County, and you'll have more and more citizens from the peninsula being permanent residents. I just wanted to make the fact known that we're just not all strangers here. We're dues-paying registered voters. At least I am, and I think there'll be a lot more in time to come at the peninsula. Thank you.
We refer to the others as undocumented.
Is there anyone else?
Right, Lawrence?
Sir? Yes.
My wife is going to kill me.
Sir, are you documented or undocumented?
I'm undocumented.
Oh, God.
My name is Ed Neiman, N-I-E-M-A-N-N. We are residents of Willow Street, Pennsylvania. My wife's family goes way back here. She was born in Beebe many years ago. She lived here until I took her away 61 years ago. She spent her summers on the farm that her grandfather bought in 1908. He was born in Georgetown. His father was born in Sussex County, I'm not sure where. His father was born near Milford, and that's as far as I can trace the family back. And Barbara, as I said, spent her summers on the farm. She was one of the best soft-shell crabbers there was. She knew that if she followed Arlen, she could pick up some more. If she followed Mr. Johnson, there was nothing to find any longer. She and they were probably the only people on the river at that time. So we know and love this area. Ever since we've been married, we've come back here for our two-week vacation on that farm. In 1959, we purchased a cottage on that farm, and now we spend, since I've retired, all my summers there. What we want to see, what I want to say, and I think she agrees, the peninsula is a beautiful place. It's a place she's known since she grew up as one of the finest properties on the river. We would hate to see something happen precipitously, quickly, that would cause the property to be developed in a way other than it was essentially planned. We would hate to see the golf course turned into smaller lots and abandoned. We think that would not be in the best interest of ourselves or the county around here. Thank you.
Thank you. I bet your wife was a faucet, am I correct? Okay. Yes, anyone else that would like to speak? Can we have a show of hands? And we have a professional hand counter here to my right is going to count for the record. Those in favor, would you raise your hands?
Professional hand counter.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should just ask the back row go up first and the next row. Be easier.
just put down a lot. Is anybody counting?
Al.
Where'd he go?
Okay.
Are you voting, Dan?
Okay. You can put your hands down, and we'll do the same proposition after they have an opportunity to speak. Is there anyone else that would like to speak that's in favor of this application?
Oh, come on down. Quick, last chance.
The gavel was ready to come down.
Close.
Thank you. Council members, this is the live.
Both of them are on, I think. Yeah, both
without the red light. Okay, no, it's red. I'm live. I don't have to stop. I'm a fairly new resident. We bought a model home. We fell in love with it. I've been a mail-ender all of my life. This is great. People moving in on my street all seem to be from Maryland at our end of the street for some reason. We're going to become citizens of your county and your state. So. Looking forward to retiring here and working here. Thank you.
What was your name, sir?
Kent Hoffman.
Thank you.
Pathway to citizenship, right?
That's right. Seeing no one else volunteering to speak for the application, at this point, I would like to hear from those who are opposed. And Mr. Abbott, would you like to come to the podium?
President, members of council, Richard Abbott, attorney here on behalf of Dennis and Carolyn Silicato, whose address is 27539 Medallion Avenue in the Peninsula in Millsboro. I have two different written materials I wanted to submit for the record that I'd like to hand up to Mr. Lank. I have a copy for Mr. Fuquay as well. And I submitted some extra copies if Mr. Mike would be so kind as to send them down the line so that members of council, you won't have time to digest them here today. But I don't expect, I think Mr. Moore even said you're not going to be voting today, so
that's
you can
correct.
Take them. Thank you. I'm sorry, I forgot the other one. Mr. Silicato, as Mr. Fuquay noted, is seated. He was seated with me here in the audience. And I guess the first thing I wanted to address, obviously, my clients are opposed to the ordinance as amended, as currently drafted. And I wanted to do a much more brief background for you focused on the clubhouse, because that's really what this boils down to at this stage of the game. When's the clubhouse going to be built? And if you look at the proposed ordinance language currently, as Mr. Fuquay noted, it calls for 950 memberships in the club or 250 golf members, whichever occurs first. Now, keep in mind, at least according to the documentation that my client received, the maximum number of golf members that will be admitted is 250. So basically, what they're asking you to do, if you have to rely on the golf memberships, is wait till it's filled up, till it's reached its max. My understanding is about 106 golf memberships, at least according to the Peninsula webpage, currently. So they're not quite halfway there after 6 years, 6.5 years. So probably in this market, 10 plus years before they'll get to 250 golf memberships. So the 950 members, they're at 475, so they're halfway there. So, but given this economy, who knows? It's going to be at least another 6.5 years, probably more in the 10 plus years category. So it's 2020 or more in all likelihood is what is being discussed here. So let's juxtapose that with what the promise was when folks bought in there, particularly my client who bought in 2006, 4 years, 4.5 years ago. First, there are marketing materials that were provided. Now, if it isn't in writing, it didn't happen, as lawyers sometimes say, but even when it is in writing, sometimes it doesn't make any legal difference. And many times, unfortunately, marketing materials are given out, people are made promises, and they're just never kept. And that's one of these circumstances. This document indicates construction of the clubhouse will commence no later than when the club has initially issued a combination of 350 golf, sports, and social memberships. So 350 memberships. That threshold was achieved probably about 4 years ago, 3 to 4 years ago. The original developer still had full control over the peninsula. The original developer knew the commitments that had been made to the community. The original developer failed to keep the promises. The original developer, by the way, also knew that pursuant to condition number 10 of the approval of this community. And remember, this community is much more dense than what is permitted by the underlying zoning. I'm sure you're all aware of that. It's an RPC. So it received a special grant of privilege to develop at a higher density. And in turn, there were lots of promises that were made. And one of those promises was condition 10. That promise was, within 2 years, the issuance of the first building permit, commencement of clubhouse construction will begin. That was either late 2005 or early 2006. That didn't happen. Then the developer basically put their head in the sand and said, well, hopefully nobody will notice. Well, finally somebody noticed, and in November of 2007, the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Department said, developer, you've got to build. In response, the developer didn't say, well, okay, I'll get started. The developer did nothing. They finally got here in December of 2008 when this council, some of you weren't here at that point, but when Sussex County Council granted them a 2-year extension. I believe one of the reasons it was a 2-year extension, that's not what the developer wanted. They wanted a membership, 500 members. The Planning and Zoning Commission, Mr. Johnson in particular, based on the minutes, said, wait a minute, rather than pegging it on members, let's have a specific time so it's enforceable and so we have certainty. And that was the recommendation that came to the council for 2 years. I'm assuming that that's why council adopted it, because that was the P&Z recommendation. So we've heard 350, we've heard 500, as Mr. Lank noted, we've heard 750, now it's 950. We had 2005, 2006, then we had 2010. By the way, the deadline that was imposed 2 years ago coincidentally runs in 2 days. So now we've had lots of broken promises in the past. The other thing that happened, and I understand the receiver and, in particular, Wells Fargo Bank. Remember, Wells Fargo Bank is who is asking you for this extension, not the receiver. Technically, the receiver is just the agent for Wells Fargo Bank. That's who controls the peninsula today by court order. Wachovia Bank filed the court of chancery action. Wachovia Bank is now owned by Wells Fargo. So Wells Fargo, in effect, is saying, we want to have more time. Well, let's look at their track record. They took over a year ago, in October of 2009. They knew what the deadline was. They knew that in April of 2009, they were supposed to submit plans to build the clubhouse and post surety. They did absolutely nothing. They violated their obligations, in my opinion, respectfully, because the Court of Chancery said, it's your community now. Go forth and take care of business. And on this issue, at least, they didn't take care of business. Now, one other point, just by way of background. Fortunately, the Delaware General Assembly enacted a law in 2009 that will prevent a lot of these things from happening in the future. Unfortunately, it doesn't affect the peninsula. There's an act that was effective September of 2009 called the Uniform Common Interest Ownership Act. And just to give you an example of what the Delaware General Assembly has said, they have said in Title 25, Section 81-419A of the Delaware Code, that for those communities that are built after September 30, 2009, a declarant, that's the developer, shall complete all improvements depicted on any site plan, shall complete all improvements depicted on any site plan or other graphic representation. So if a declarant that builds a community with common facilities and common amenities puts it on a plan, the Delaware General Assembly has said it's set in stone and you're going to build it. That's enforceable, and if they don't do it, there are provisions that allow for reimbursement of attorney's fees for any lot owner to sue in court to make the developer do it. So, unfortunately, the peninsula doesn't have those consumer protection provisions available to it. So instead, my clients come before Sussex County Council because in this instance, it is this body that approved a plan with conditions that made promises. And as I've noted, there were additional promises, all of which so far have been broken. Admittedly, most of which were done by the developer. Now, my clients oppose the amendment as it's written for at least six different reasons. Now, as I noted, the original commitment was broken. That's one. Two, there's already an extension to 2010. That hasn't been met. Three, there's no deadline for completion. This is probably the most important part of this. If you read the language, and with all due respect to 200-some-odd people that live in the peninsula, I would ask them that have said we're in favor of this amendment, I would ask them, is it your position that you would like the clubhouse to never be built at all, ever? Because if you want that result, you will get it with this ordinance. Because if you approve this ordinance, the developer or the receiver or Wells Fargo, whomever controls the property, will have the ability to never build the clubhouse at all. Why? Because the way the language reads, all they have to do is commence construction. Well, I'll tell you what commence construction means. It means that you take a grader out there and you do some site development work and you move some dirt around. You put up some silt fence, pick up stakes, and you go home because you just commenced construction, and now you're done. There's nothing in there that sets a completion deadline. I suppose Mr. Fuquay is now going to present you probably after today with an amended version that'll say, well, we'll complete it within a certain period of time after we commence construction. Okay, that would cure that, but as it's currently written, it can never be built, potentially. The other thing I'll note, although it's not entirely clear, the covenants, and I think, Mr. Lank, did I hand you the covenants? Maybe I handed you the wrong document.
Yeah.
I did. I apologize. The covenants are not clear, but it says membership in the club is mandatory. All owners who are approved for membership must acquire and maintain in good standing at least a social membership. And the next page in all caps, it's all capital letters, it says acquisition of a membership in the club is mandatory. So assuming that's true, then everybody that buys a unit has to become a member. And so under those circumstances, then eventually they'll get to 950 members because it'll automatically happen. Now, the other reason that my clients oppose this, though, and that's relevant to this point, is there's no hardship. Okay, Wells Fargo is one of the four largest banks in the United States. In 2009, it had a net profit of more than $12 billion. It paid back $25 billion to the federal government in bailout money that same year. So I'm assuming that they didn't borrow that money, so they made $37 billion, apparently, since they paid back Uncle Sam. Now, there's no shortfall of money. That's what you normally hear. That's what you heard 2 years ago when the developer came here and said, look, we're short on money. Truth be told, according to the presentation that was made before the Planning and Zoning Commission, The developer also took off with about $11 million in fees that were paid by the first 400 or so purchasers. Developer just took it out of the bank account. So that $1.5 million Mr. Fuqua mentioned would be $12 million, or I guess maybe 13 almost, if the developer hadn't upped and left with all that money. That's not Wells Fargo's fault. That's the developer taking the money out of the account. But there's no hardship because Wells Fargo has decided that it wants to hold on to this property. They want to keep it in a holding pattern. Just so you understand, a foreclosure has been sought. A complaint was filed in August of 2009 in the Delaware Court of Chancery. It has three counts to the complaint, three claims. Breach of contract, you owe us money. You breached your promise to pay. Number two is we want a receivership. They got that. Number three is foreclosure. We want to foreclose on the mortgage. You can foreclose in either the Court of Chancery under equity or in the Superior Court, whichever you choose. So the developer, so Wells Fargo has basically used this because by filing the foreclosure, what that enables them to do is have a receiver appointed. They don't want to foreclose. Because let me just tell you what happens if they foreclose. They're going to pay you, Sussex County, probably upwards of $1 million in a 4% sheriff's commission at sheriff's sale. Because if this property goes to sheriff's sale, which is where it would have to go if they go through the foreclosure process, it will go to sheriff's sale. The 4% commission would have to be paid, assuming it sells for $20, $25 million at sheriff's sale. That's $800,000 to $1 million in Sussex County's pocket, out of Wells Fargo's pocket. That's why they don't want to go forward, among other reasons. The other fact of the matter is, if they go through foreclosure, they will almost certainly be the successful bidder, unless some white knight comes out with a really deep pocket. Then it will be abundantly clear that Wells Fargo is the legal title owner to all the lots. Remember what I mentioned a minute ago? Once you become the legal title owner to all the lots, guess what? You're a member of the club. Once you're a member of the club, you have to pay your pro rata share of the cost of the club. That will mean that Wells Fargo will have to pay for two-thirds, or 66%, of the costs of running the club. Now, I would submit to you that they already have that obligation, because by the court order, they are the equitable owner of those lots. That order says that they have all right possession and control over those lots. So the only thing that they don't have is bare legal title. They have the lots. They should be members. They should be contributing 66%. And all these folks that are here today and have written you these letters, once the clubhouse gets built, they aren't going to get double dues. They're going to get a dues cut because they're getting shortchanged right now because Wells Fargo isn't paying their fair share. All of these folks are being burdened, 475 of them, with 100% of the costs, when they only should be paying one-third of the cost. So you can do the math and figure out, even if you doubled the amount of the cost of operating the facilities, if you're getting two-thirds contribution of all those costs, you're going to get a dues break, not a dues increase. So fundamentally, the problem here today boils down, and that's the last reason that the Silicatos oppose this, because what this amounts to, what this application constitutes, is a multi-million dollar big bank bailout. This is a big bank bailout. Now, the federal government, in their wisdom or lack of wisdom, decided to give banks a bailout. Wells Fargo is hoping, through the receiver, they can fly under the radar, they can call this something other than what it is, but it's Wells Fargo, it's asking you for a break. They don't want to spend $5 million to build, and they don't want to spend the millions every year that it will cost to operate to pay their fair share that they're obligated to pay. So that's what this amounts to. And again, with all due respect to the 200 or so people that have said they support this proposal, they don't know the facts. And they've been told, if you don't get us our extension, your dues will be doubled. Well, that's just a threat. That's just an out-and-out extortionist threat, in my view. And that's why you have people scared, and I don't blame them for being scared. But it isn't true. And Wells Fargo needs to step up to the plate and do what they should have done over a year ago when they took control over this property. If they don't like that, then take it through the foreclosure process and sell it at sheriff's sale and let somebody else buy it. Or take it over and take on the obligation. You can't have it both ways. They want to have their cake and eat it too. On the one hand, they want to keep it in limbo, not pay a million or so to Sussex County and sheriff's fees, and be able to just sit and put this property on ice till the market returns someday and not have to spend very much money doing it in the interim. If they pay their fair share, they're either going to have to say it's time to buck up and we're going to have to start marketing this property aggressively, or they're going to have to sell it to somebody else. Because here's the bottom line. Wells Fargo is not helping this community. Trust me, they are not helping this community. The best thing that could happen for this community in terms of the club and the membership and the vitality of the overall community is if Wells Fargo sells lots and houses and condominiums get built. If they are not willing to cut prices in this market, which is, I assume, the problem, then it's never going to sell. This thing's going to sit there like a white elephant for years. So it's not going to be an asset to Sussex County. It's going to be a burden. And you're going to keep hearing from people time in and time out, year after year, why isn't anything happening in the peninsula? Because Wells Fargo wants to sit there and do nothing with the property, because it's not costing them much of anything to do that. And the Court of Chancery will let them keep on running it without having to take title. So they get the best of all worlds. So in conclusion, I would submit to you that if you look at the facts and you look at what's going on here, that the best outcome from this process would be to say, all right, fine, Wells Fargo, we understand you can't build in 2 days. You're not even going to vote today. So they're obviously not going to get under construction, you know, on December the 9th. So they're going to need some additional time. That's fine, whatever you deem appropriate. But it shouldn't be more than a few years. And this time, really make them post surety. They've said $5 million. Typically, with public works types contracts, you have to post a bond of 150% of the estimated cost. DelDOT requires it, other government agencies, same thing. $7.5 million letter of credit. Wells Fargo is a multi-billion dollar company. When they were at the P&Z, they said, well, it's going to be difficult to get a letter of credit. Come on. It's not going to be difficult for Wells Fargo to get a letter of credit. So they're going to be able to put up a letter of credit for $7.5 million, and then that way, the next deadline, if it doesn't get started, then the letter of credit gets pulled. They also should be required to present development plans and process them over the next however many months to approval. In other words, to actually get the structural plans submitted, compliant with the building code, stamped approved, and ready to build. So that if, in fact, they don't comply with the next deadline, the clubhouse will be built on time as planned. And there should also obviously be a construction completion deadline, as you required wisely, I think, with the last extension. If they need a year and a half, I think, was the time allowed to complete last time, fine. Then it will be done. We're not going to be back here again in 2 years. We're not going to keep arguing about, you know, what the economy holds. Because remember, the original developer of this community was supposed to have this thing, as I said, underway in 06. The market wasn't horrible in 06. The problem was, apparently, this developer did not do a very good job selling this community. Because you remember how good the market was, I'm sure. So if you can't sell units in 2006 when houses are selling like hotcakes in resort communities like the Peninsula, then something's wrong. So this is not before you here today because the market tanked. This is here before you today because the developer just messed up in many, many ways. And unfortunately, Wells Fargo's got to make a call. It's either time for them to take this property and meet their obligations, or it's time for them to dispose of it in part or in whole so that this community can be built, developed, and prosper. So with that, I would ask you to not approve the ordinance as drafted, and if you do grant an extension, do so with the types of conditions I mentioned.
Yes.
Cole.
Yeah, so you just alluded to that you're not objecting to an extension. You just don't want one tied to membership. You would want something tied to more of a time period type of thing, right? So you were saying 1 to 2 years. I heard somebody else say 5 to 7 years. So, but you are not objecting to an extension?
Correct.
Okay.
As long as there's a commencement of construction, a completion of construction deadline,
similar
surety,
to
and plans.
Okay, that's the next question. Can we, obviously we had, I guess, letters of credit at one time. They expired. Nobody was watching them. That's where we fixed that. But can we demand letters now of credit for an extension on a...
That is part of what Mr. Robertson and Mr. Rudd are looking at.
Okay.
That's exact question.
That's enough of that. And then, do you think that we had all this references again to the $5 million clubhouse? Does your client feel that there is a actual, you know, $5 million clubhouse that's a picture or something of it? Or is it possible that that's not fixed in stone and the clubhouse could be of a lesser value, of a lesser size? Was that a conceptual promise of this $30,000 thing of some overzealous realtors?
No, I don't know. All I would say,
or promoters, or whatever.
There was a concept plan that I think was drawn up by the receiver. They did the cost estimate of $5 million. As Mr. Fuquay noted, that includes furnishing. That's soup to nuts. That's to get it up and running and ready for people to...
I'm just trying to get a feel from all of these attorneys in the room. Is there... and an architect. And are we stuck with this... And I don't know, you know, where it's written or where it's drawn or where it's, you know, it's demanded by the county that's going to be this $5 million thing. Is it a $5 million clubhouse or is it a clubhouse? And it could be this big or that big or whatever. Could somebody tell me? Clear that up?
The only thing I could say, Councilman, is I know...
What's your client think?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask him. I do know that in the materials it says a clubhouse featuring dining rooms, men's and women's
locker
rooms.
And who's that from? That was
and
from
pro shops. That is the Peninsula
Brochure,
Golf and Country Club frequently
I remember Oprah
questions.
Winfrey was living there, Denzel Washington, and... And I didn't know who else. Oh,
George Cole.
No, I can't. No. I'm like that lady said, a working man.
Dennis Silicato, for the record, 27539 Medallion Avenue in the Peninsula in Millsboro. To answer your question, and all due respect to the people here, I've heard, and these are all friends and neighbors, some of which I know are acquaintances in the community. We're all in the same position to want to do the best for the Peninsula. There's nobody that's arguing that point today. It's interesting to me that some of the representatives say that they don't really have an idea what the clubhouse was promised. If you went into the Discovery Center, when my wife and I went in there with my daughters, the whole front of it was a lit rendition of this 30-some-thousand square foot clubhouse, which I asked my attorneys, which happened to be some of the people here in this room today, the golf pro, the general manager, and the developer, is that the clubhouse that's going to be built? They said, Dennis, this is the Peninsula. That was the answer to everything that I asked. You know, this is the Peninsula.
Now, you're pretty slick. Do you fell for that one?
Yes, I did. Obviously, I'm not.
I think did, too. Don't laugh now.
You know, I asked at the settlement table with my attorney. I asked with the general manager, the realtor, and everybody about this clubhouse being built, and I was assured unequivocally by all of them, without any condition, that the clubhouse would be started and probably completed before my house would be done. The clubhouse was 30-some thousand square feet. I had been told by the Shells and other people looked at this, they were talking about a $17 million clubhouse. What they're talking about now is a tremendously scaled-down clubhouse. I met with Mr. Munn in January of 2009, who told me that they were going to look to scale this clubhouse down, move it from the top of the hill, which we don't have many hills in Sussex County, so it was kind of nice, you know, unless you're on the ninth hole and hit a bad shot, in the water, the people can sit there on the hill in this clubhouse. I've since been told that that's been modified and moved and drastically reduced. So, Mr. Cole, to answer your question, I don't know how they can get away with $5 million in today's world of cost of construction. When you look at building a clubhouse with locker rooms and the facilities that they have, if you scale it down much more, then you basically got a place to park golf carts. They've gone from a $17 million, 30-some thousand square foot clubhouse that was promised and lit in the Discovery Center to everybody that came in that marketing area in their brochure, and now they're scaling that down drastically. And I'm still not opposed to that. That's fine. You know, like my attorney said, I don't have a problem with the condition of an extension. I'm not here today, or my attorney's not, to say, you know, we want the clubhouse started today. I understand the economic conditions, but Wells, if we're ever, I'm a developer, you know, I understand these things, I understand banking. If we're ever, if Sussex County and this community and the people here today behind me, the only chance we're going to have is now. Wells Fargo has control of this. There's people that can come before you, you know, land developers, builders, whomever, who can say, look, it's a financial hardship. I can't get a bond. Well, Wells Fargo can get a bond in 30 seconds. They can post a letter of credit to this county to assure that the county's position is not one where we're going to be back here at some point in the future. When I looked at the ordinance that were recorded in the county, when I bought my two lots there and built my house, I read those conditions, and I relied on the fact that Sussex County passed this residential development with ordinance that was recorded, and one of those ordinance said that that clubhouse would be built. And I'm assuming, since that it was recorded and passed by the county, that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I relied on that. So we're going to be back here. I was here 2 years ago talking about the same subject, and I again got up here and said, I don't have a problem if you want to give them an extension. Fine. You know. So they said, what if we give them a two-year extension, tell them they have to start the clubhouse by 2010, and it has to be completed by 2011 or 12, and they post a bond. And I said, fine, no problem. And that's what was done. Well, what has happened since that was passed? Nothing. They didn't post, there's no bond posted with the county. There's no plan submitted of what the clubhouse looks like. It certainly hasn't been started, so it can't be completed. So at some point, we need to make a determination of when this is going to be done. Not on membership, a date. When is this going to be started? When is it going to be completed? And post some surety that will guarantee to Sussex County that I'm not coming back to Sussex County, or some other landowner is not coming back to Sussex County and saying, guys, maybe you can build me a clubhouse. Somebody needs to. I was promised a clubhouse, and I've been told through three different extensions. You know, the first situation was it's going to be started when 2 years after an initial building permit is issued. That didn't happen. Then it was going to said it was going to be started when there's 350 members. That didn't happen. Then it said it was going to be started when there was 500 members. That's now being changed. Then 2 years ago it was said, it came before you and it said, okay, it'll be started by 2010 and completed by 2012. I lived through all those and said, fine. That's fine. I'm reasonable. Well, I don't think at this point I'm comfortable that no matter what anybody here says will be relied upon unless we put a specific ordinance in place and demand that a time frame be met and a bond or surety be in position for the county and for the residents of the peninsula. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Are there any other questions of the council? Any other questions from council? If not, is there anyone else here that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else here in opposition? If not, at this point, Mr. Vincent, I believe that all that desired to speak have had an opportunity to speak, and we can close the public record or public hearing on this matter. And this does have to
be deferred. It sounds like there's a number of issues on the table, so we should instead of trying to identify all the issues and miss any, should we just leave the record open?
Well, yes, and at this point, at the record, and at this point that there has not been decided by planning, zoning, and certain specific things are being investigated are the requirements of the bonding and also the escrow agreement itself.
I would think then it would be probably the thing to do would be to leave our record open for, if you want to pick a period of time after P&Z makes their recommendation.
Say 30 days. Have you got your what time frame do you think Mr. Robinson and Mr. Rutt need to examine this complicated issue?
I know they have the escrow agreement now, and I believe they've seen a second escrow agreement. The first one that was sent was not the correct one, and I know they've reviewed that. They have corresponded by email with each other, Mr. Vincent and Mr. Rutt.
Well, we got the holiday. Why don't we just say 60 days?
I think 30 days is
adequate. Well, we got the holidays coming up. I'm just thinking 60 days might be better. That gets into...
And any of this conversation is with the idea of the surety being posted by somebody?
That is part of the same discussion.
Right. That's critical. Okay. I think that's critical if we're going to see anything done. I'll make a motion that we just leave the record open for 60 days.
After P&Z's?
After P&Z's recommendation.
I'll second it.
I have a second. Now, question on the motion.
I was wondering who's, after hearing you guys talk today, I don't know who's supposed to pay for this. If Wells Fargo is supposed to pay for it, or the people that moves into in Peninsula? And pay individually a certain amount. Is there dues or what?
Well, yeah, they were saying, Sam, that the...
After hearing the last picture, I was beginning to wonder...
Well, I think
what Wells Fargo the developer before him, was supposed to put this building in there before the clubhouse, before you were there. I understand. But
as a unit or a lot owner, the membership...
You know, and think that's got to be cleared up. I don't know who's really...
Well, I think
we had testimony here.
That's not our business. That's their business.
I understand. That's some of the things going through my mind here. Who's going to?
Who enforces covenants?
Not us.
I know.
Eventually, it would be Court of Chancery if there's a dispute. Any enforcement issues could go to the Court of Chancery to be decided. However, normally the covenants have certain provisions, homeowner associations that would. Enforce those, and then any or certain disputes concerning that could go to the Court of Chancery. I do know that there was one issue that Mr. Abbott brought up and we're going to take a look at. He mentioned the covenants and restrictions and indicated that Wells Fargo was, if not the legal owner, at least the beneficial owner of the lots. And I do know that in most cases there is an exemption for the owner from paying or developer paying any dues during the time of development. So, you know, I'll be looking at that issue too.
Okay.
Question?
Mr. Lang.
Before you make a motion.
No.
Typically, when you leave the record open, you leave it for the number of days after receipt of the Planning and Zoning Commission report.
Right.
Which means I'd have to, once I get a motion and a decision, I'd have to introduce the report to council so that you could then defer for that number of days.
Is that comfortable, everybody?
So you would want the date from that period.
Oh, we have a date
period
to work on, yeah.
Right. And the motion from Councilman Cole is to keep the record open for 30 days after
60
the decision.
Days.
60 days?
Well, because of the holidays. I was just taking that into consideration.
60 days after the decision from Planning and Zoning.
After receipt of the report on the decision, because it has to be introduced to council.
Okay.
Then that way we give a firm date or anybody that wants to comment.
60 days before they
get report. Yeah. Anything? Questions on the motion? We'll call to vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Schultz?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. I would, there's been a lot of people here today. I would like to thank all of you and congratulate you on your conduct. There was a lot of people, but everybody was very quiet and courteous. Thank you.
Congratulations.
That concludes the hearings.
Even the undocumented ones.
Yeah.
So take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Go ahead. Yeah, second.
I have a motion second to adjourn. If I'm saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. We'll adjourn.